We're doing Yeshaya. We're starting our new semester here. We're up to what's called the ninth chapter, the fourth pasuk. We had stopped in the middle of a prophecy where the Navi is describing the tremendous victory that will happen on behalf of Chizkiyahu and the Judean people, the people of Judea. Remember, the Assyrian Empire had descended upon the northern 10 tribes, had exiled the northern 10 tribes, and then had returned in a massive attempt to conquer Jerusalem. And all indications were that they would be successful. There was no logical hope that we would overcome them. They came with a tremendous army, and we didn't stand a chance. So we're standing there within the fortification. They've laid siege on Jerusalem. And along comes the prophet and tells them, this nation that's walking in darkness has seen a great light. They feel like they're in the shadow of death, and light will shine upon them. This nation was given greatness, and the greatness was that night, the night of Pesach, Hashem sent an angel through the camps of Sancheirev, and the soldiers, you had over 250,000 soldiers surrounding Jerusalem, they dropped dead. The next morning, not a soldier could raise a sword. They just went out and had free pickings to take all their weapons and all their loot from the Assyrian Empire. And the nations heard about this. So Israel became famous with this miracle. And Am Yisrael celebrated as though they would have harvest. They didn't really have harvest, even though it's the harvest season. But they had been stuck in the siege. So they rejoiced because they divided the loot that they got from the Assyrian Empire. That empire which had been persecuting them and taxing them, God took them down just like midnight was defeated in one night. When the Midianites came upon Gideon, so they outnumbered Gideon 300-1 on the soldiers. Gideon had 300 soldiers, they had over 100,000 soldiers. And in one night, Gideon overcame them. And so, just like in one night, we had a victory against Midian, so too here in one night, the Assyrian Empire was taken down. We're up to Pasuk Daled. The Navi continues and says, Ki yichol se'on so'ein berash, v'simla megolala v'damim. Because ordinarily in a war, there's tremendous noise. And people's garments are tainted with blood. As people are victorious, it's a bloody victory. But here it won't be that way. Rather, it will be a fire. A heavenly fire is going to come down and consume them. An angel came down, and without any noise, that night the Assyrian Empire was taken down. They woke up in the morning and they couldn't get up. They were finished. So that's the prophecy of the great victory against Sancheirid. Ki yeled yulad lanu. For a child was born on our behalf. This child is the pious King Chizkiyahu. Bein nitan lanu vatehi amisra al shichmo. And he took the misra. Misra in modern Hebrew is a job. Your misra is your job. But in ancient Hebrew, the word misra is the exact opposite. Misra means to be the boss, from the word sirara, to be a ruler. Vatehi ha-misra al shichmo. God gave him dominion, God gave him the rulership. And he carried that on his shoulder. He carried the yoke of the Torah, he carried the yoke of the mitzvos. Vayikra Shemo, and God named him. God gave him a name. It's going to be many words, but really these words reflect ideas. So Chizkiyahu's name is Pele Yoetz El Gibor Aviad Sar Shalom. So many names. He is going to be called Pele, the wondrous one. Kel Gibor. He is the indication that God is so mighty. Aviad, our father, is eternally watching over us. Sal Shalom. He is the master of peace. So that's one understanding. Another understanding is that Vayikra Shemo called his name. Who called his name? God, who is Pele Yoetz Kel Gibor Aviad, God who is wondrous, the one who gives great advice, the potent, mighty one, our eternal Father. He called this child Chizkiyahu, and that's the end of the verse, Sar Shalom. He gave him the name Master of Peace. So, 3 days ago, on Tuesday, I had to go through the Tachana Merkazit, and there's a store where I always buy the MP3 players, the recorders with which we record these classes. So, I had been in that store before Pesach, and the store owner mentioned to me that he's having terrible headaches and he can't seem to get rid of them. So on my way through the Tachana Merkazit, I stopped in to see how he was doing. And he says to me, "What was Moshe's name?" So I said, "Moshe's name, he had 10 names." He says to me, what did his mother call him when he was born?" I said, "Avigdor." So he says, "What do you mean he had 10 names? When his mother wanted to call him, she started calling Avigdor, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shlomo, Moshe. What do you mean 10 names? How could he have 10 names?" So I said, no. A name in Tanakh is not like you think of a name. You're right. His mother called him Avigdor. The daughter of Pharaoh gave him the name Moshe, and because of her kindness, so the Torah used the name Moshe alone. You're right, it was when he was 3 months old that he got the name Moshe. His real name was Avigdor. It's a good point. The Medrash says that because she did kindness with him, so the Torah only used her name, only used the name Moshe. Right? Yeah. Tuvia, right? So, a name in Tanakh is stressing a certain strength that a person had. When the Tanakh speaks about a person's name, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was referred to by that name. Rather, in Tanakh, a name, shame, is a strength which became a person's hallmark. We say, the name of Hashem. What does that mean? It means, what is Hashem known for? And by the same token, human beings' names in Tanakh is what they were known for. What was Moshe's hallmark that he led the Jewish people out of Egypt? The word Moshe means to lead. What does Avigdor mean? My father, Avigdor, will fence in the losses of the Jewish people. So to his mother, it was important when the people were suffering and the babies were being thrown into the Nile to name her child Avigdor. Or to name him Tuvia, God is good. But to us, he is Moshe. He is the one that led us. He's the one that drew us out. So a name in Tanakh is not necessarily what he was called at the time, as much as the idea that the Tanakh wanted to stress about this person. And that's why in Tanakh, people can have many, many names. What's Avraham Avinu called? He's called Eitan, right? He's called Har, mountain. He's called many things. Ezrach. Pasuk Vam. Lemarbe hamisra ul shalom in keitz al kisei David val mamlachto lachinota ul saada b'mishpat uvitzdaka. Limerbei hamisra, the name Sar Shalom is indicative of the great leadership he will have, the great authority he will have. Limerbei hamisra, because he will have marbei, there will be a great kingdom under his dominion. Uleshalom en ketz, and he will have limitless peace. Al kisei David val mamlachto, he will sit on King David's throne, he will sit on his kingdom. Lachinota ulesaada, he will establish it. Ulesaada, and he will make it a kingdom that has supports so it doesn't falter. And what are the foundations of that kingdom? B'mishpat uvitzdakah, justice and righteousness. These two are what's necessary to maintain a kingdom. That's the hallmark of David. His balance between justice and righteousness. When King David came to judge a case, two neighbors were arguing. This one says, he owes me 500 shekel. The other one says, no, I don't. So King David would say, okay, you're saying he owes you 500 shekel? Here's 500 shekel. Okay, now let's talk. What's your claim? What's your claim? Calm down the fires. He said, with his charity, he could also bring them to justice. And by the end of the case, so both sides can come to an equitable solution because he'd take out all the ego out of it. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying you're right. Here, I'll lay down the money. Now, where's the meeting ground between us? He did mishpat and tzedakah. Me'ata ve'ad olam kinat Adonai tzevaot ta'ase zot. Forever it's going to be. Now, ve'ad olam literally means forever. Our tradition is that olam does not mean forever. Olam means through a lifetime, through a period. Le'olam, we find many times, can mean 50 years, right? So, me'ata ve'ad olam means throughout Chizkiyo's lifetime. Kinat Hashem tzachot ta'ase zot. God's zeal is what will ensure that this comes, that this will happen. What's God's zeal? It's the zeal against Sancheiriv who blasphemed. Now we have a lot to talk about here, but yes.
So let's say Shan Hashem and you stop the brach, whatever you say, Rosh Hashanah Kibbol Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Are we saying what does that mean?
Right. So Le'olam sometimes means forever, and sometimes
means forever. Okay.
Yeah. It deserves a broader discussion, but yeah. The verses we just read are really loaded verses. These are, we have a few places in Yeshaya, in Isaiah, where throughout the generations we had to contend with different people who wanted to say different things about the verses, that they referred to different people. The way we just read it is one interpretation in which it pertains to Chizkiyo. There are other interpretations in the verse. Ki yeled yulad lanu. Right, okay. Our tradition is that Vatehi Amisrael Shichmo means he took the responsibility of Torah on himself. The Targum learns that this really is talking about the Messiah, and he will be Sar Shalom, Master of Peace. Lemarbe Hamisra, there's going to be a lot of greatness to those who maintain the Torah. Ule Shalom and Ketz, and limitless peace. Al Kisei David v'al Mamlachto, when you have King David's throne set the way it should be. Now, the two interpretations are not mutually exclusive. We have a tradition that Chizkiyo was supposed to be the Mashiach. Chizkiyo was tremendously pious, and God did do an extraordinary miracle in his days, and the potential was there for him to be the Messiah. The Talmud says he erred, because when the miracle was done, instead of singing, instead of giving praise, he didn't. Which is a phenomenal insight if you think about it. The importance of song. Because he didn't sing, he didn't become the Messiah. Wow. He didn't sing. He did have gratitude. We have the prayer where he thanks Hashem. He didn't sing. He needed to sing. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So, also told that before they did tshuva, they set some things in motion that prevented him from being Mashiach. In other words, there was acts that they did that they didn't do tshuva for. It was some small point. I don't know, Rabbi Gerstein mentioned the name of our celebration, because I also heard that that was a period where he definitely had potential to be Mashiach.
What is the inyan with Bashir? Though, you can be totally grateful and you can say a prayer. What is this inyan with Shir? It's not the vocal expression of singing. There has to be something in a
level.
Shir per se in a composed song. I don't know.
Seems so harsh, but on the other hand, at that level, I guess the idea that you're supposed to burst into song, be overcome with gratitude, is a different level than verbally, I guess. I don't know.
Well, we see that throughout tonight, as your Shir Moshe, song at the Red Sea. The song that we see, when I say a song in English, it sounds okay, it's a song. But Shir in Hebrew, I definitely.
But had they not sung, would there have been consequences negative there? I don't know. I mean, you know, this is so far beyond my understanding. I just grasp at it, you know, straws. I mean, the truth is, I don't have a clue why, you know. I mean, it just seems that maybe it's a metaphor for something, you know, that somehow, because as you said, there are people who just, they don't express gratitude through song, it's not their way. They don't, it's foreign, foreign to them. I don't know, but if the Gemara said it, I guess they're trying to teach us something.
If you remind me, then we can try to go into it next Thursday night. It's definitely an excellent topic next Thursday night. Just remind me a day in advance. We'll prepare sources. Okay? It's good.
Rob, I don't know if this has to be Thursday night too, but related to what you said about Chizkiyahu, does the Mashiach have to be extremely pious?
Yeah. And again, if you want more details, then on Thursday night we can discuss it.
Right.
That's one of the basic arguments why this isn't talking about anyone who others might claim it's talking about, because our tradition and the verses indicate, A, that he will be very pious, and B, that he will bring about a certain tremendous change. He was hoping. So that's if you want to understand that better... So remind me on Thursday night. We'll go through the Rambam. The Rambam discusses that. Okay. So we'll pick up here next week.